Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you in that listening audience. As most of you know, I have just returned recently within the last few days from preaching in Africa. I was over there for about a month, and we preached in three different locations, basically. I did a couple of meetings in the Nairobi in Kenya area with university students. The first was out at Kabarak University at Nakuru, Kenya, west of Nairobi, and went out there and spoke twice to different groups of students, and we had good meetings out there. And then we went back to Nairobi on Sunday of that first weekend and had a church meeting with the Kibbit University students, and there was a big crowd of students there, 100 or more probably, and we just praise the Lord for the work that the Lord has opened up for us to do with the university students. And so then after that first weekend, we took off and we went out to West Kenya, and the Lord put a couple of brothers with me to travel with me this year, first time that I've had travel companions, and the Lord put two strong brothers with me, one of them a young man from Kansas City who actually came out of my prison ministry, and his name is Robbie Jorgensen, and he is a strong man of God. He came out of prison a year and a half ago, and he's really seeking the Lord, walking with the Lord, has turned his life around 180 degrees, and he is going full bore towards the Lord. And so he was a great asset for me, a real strong kid. He was watching me and guarding me and just walking with me every step of the way. And the second brother the Lord brought to me was a man from Scotland by the name of Roger Fothergill, and he is a former Missionary Aviation Fellowship pilot, and he worked in Africa for several years as an MAF pilot, and then he went into the commercial airline pilot trade, and he was a commercial airline pilot for about 20 years. And he has just recently retired, and he is a strong man of God, a good teacher, has a real heart for Jesus, and in addition to his many other assets and attributes, he also speaks fluent French. And so I didn't know this about him, but when we got over to the Congo, he served as the interpreter because he was very fluent in French and in English. And so that's the language that they speak in the Congo. Besides Swahili, they speak French. That's the national language. And so he was a very valuable asset to me over in Congo, where I needed to understand the pastors who all spoke in French. So the three of us then went to Malaba out in West Kenya, and we had a pastor training there for 3 days in the church, the Harvest Church in Malaba. And it was hosted by a pastor by the name of Electine Amoya. And she is a praise and worship leader extraordinaire and really blessed and anointed by the Lord. And so we had a three-day crusade there. It rained on us a couple of days, but we had a very successful crusade. Quite a few people came to know the Lord. There was a outpouring of Muslims that came to the Lord. It was very unusual. This area of Malaba that we were in was dominated by Muslims. It's a border town, and so there was lots of Muslim businesses there, and most of the people probably that attended the crusade that were unbelievers were Muslim, and so many of them came to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. Many of them came forward for prayers for healing, and so it was a bit of a tough sledding there. It was not your typical fertile soil. It was rocky soil that we were sowing into, but many people came to know the Lord Jesus, and so we were blessed there in Malaba and had a great worship times in the church with Pastor Electine and her worship teams. And so then after Malaba, we went back to Nairobi, and we picked up another pastor to go with us, Pastor Paul Ariel Malimtoto. And he is from Congo, but he lives in Nairobi. And so the team of four of us then went to Congo. We flew first to Kigali, Rwanda. And there we were met by a team from the Congo, a team from Pastor Joel Amaruni's church. And they took us over to the Congo, about a 4-hour drive through western Rwanda. And so we met there in Kigali, and they ushered us over to Congo. And when we got to Congo, of course, there was a big Ebola scare because there's been a little bit of Ebola show up in northeast Congo. And so we were checked at every airport for our temperature. We were checked to make sure that none of us had a temperature. And so when we got to Congo, we were blessed then to be able to do pastor training with about 100 pastors in Goma. And also we did an outdoor crusade there. It rained on us just about every day. And so that hampered the attendance a bit and hampered things just a little bit. But we had many people come to the Lord there in Goma, and many people got saved. Many people got healed. Many people got delivered. The meetings were very powerful. I would say most of the meetings, there was probably 400 to 500 people in attendance. And so it was a blessing to be able to speak the word there in Goma. I want to tell you a story about a prophetess that I ran into there in Goma. It's just going to be a short story here. On the day that we arrived in Congo, I got a message from a pastor. Her name was Prophetess Deborah, and she was asking if we would come speak in her church on the day before the crusade. Well, we didn't go do a total service there, but we stopped by to visit her church and just to invite all of her people. There was about 50 people there at her church, to invite all of her people to the crusade, which was going to start the next day. And I found out a little bit about this prophetess Deborah, that she was the pastor of this church, and also she had been a former Muslim who had been radically saved and brought out of Islam, and she was pastoring this church. And she spoke over us when we came to her church that God had given her a vision a year and a half ago that we, three Wazungas or three white men, were going to be coming to Goma to preach the word and to sow seeds of the gospel in the city of Goma. Well, as you know, or may not know, Goma is a city on the east side of the Congo. It's a city of 1 million people. It's been the focal point of terrorist activity. It's been the focal point of a lot of unrest and kidnappings and rapes and rebel activity. They come into the Congo, the rebels do, from Uganda, from Rwanda, and also rebels from the Congolese army. And they have taken territory in East Congo, and they have stolen minerals, the diamonds and the gold and the coltan and copper and precious metals that come out of East Congo. They have stolen and exported out of the country, and they pocketed the money. Basically, Congo is such a weak country, they can't defend their borders. And so this prophetess, the Lord gave her a vision that we were coming there to speak the word and to declare peace and prosperity and stability over East Congo, over North Kivu State, and over Goma, the city of 1 million people that is the capital of North Kivu. And so we were there as a fulfillment of the prophetic vision given this lady. And so then we did the three-day crusade. It was some powerful meetings. We went into a prison in Goma, and there was 1,000 or more inmates in this prison. It was built for about 200 people, and there was over 1,000 inmates crammed into this prison. It was a very filthy place. It was a despicable, dirty place. They told us, don't brush against the walls or you'll get lice, because the lice were so infiltrated into prison. They were all on the walls and in every part of the prison. And we went in there to speak, and 200 to 300 inmates just crowded up against us within 5 feet of us and just blessed us with their presence, blessed us with their attention. They sang a couple of worship songs and had a couple of drums that they beat on and sang some worship songs. And Robbie gave up his testimony, stood up and gave his testimony about being in prison in America. And then I preached a message about freedom in Christ, Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. And so as we blessed these men and showed our love and compassion for them, a team of 10 of us went in to speak in the prison. There was many when the altar call time came, there was many that raised their hands to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. Many came forward to accept Jesus and to rededicate their life and to receive prayers for healing. And it was just an awesome experience to be able to go into this prison in the lowest of the low circumstances, the most despicable, dirty place that you can ever imagine, and to speak the word and to give these men encouragement and to just say, God cares about you, God loves you, and God holds his holds your fate and your destiny in the palm of his hand. And so we just bless these men with some very encouraging words and words to give them hope in that place where hope was in very short supply. And so we finished the crusade. We had blessings from every direction. The meetings at Joel's church, Pastor Joel's church, were very powerful. The Sunday service, there was probably 400 people in attendance there at the Sunday service, and we just received blessings from the people there, and the people were just praising the Lord and dancing to the Lord and shouting to the Lord. It was a wonderful time in the Lord. And by the way, if you want to see pictures of the Africa Mission and Africa Crusades, you be sure and email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com. I've got a bunch of pictures I can send you. And also we'll be posting video I've received from Pastor Joel's church, about 8 hours of video that I'm going to edit down. We'll be getting that on the website, gatheredtheoutcasts.com. And so as we were blessed there at Joel's church, we wrapped up the week. I preached five or six different messages, three at the Crusades, two at the pastor training, and one at the church service on Sunday. And so I preached my heart out there in Goma. It was an awesome time in the Lord. And we have an invitation to go back to Goma. We have an invitation to come there, and I'm very likely going to be going back there next year, probably in the summer. And so we're just looking forward to that, to continue to speak the blessings over the city of Goma. Well, I want to finish up the story about Prophetess Deborah, because it didn't end with the meetings that she came to. She called on Monday morning to the hotel that we were staying at, and by the way, the church put us up in a very beautiful hotel right on Lake Kivu. It's a beautiful scene, looking out over this huge lake. This lake is about 100 and some miles long, 125 miles long, and about 10 miles wide. It's a beautiful lake, and we were in a hotel right on the shores of the lake. And so Prophetess Deborah called, and she wanted me to pray for her on Monday morning, the morning that we were leaving the city and heading back to Rwanda. And so I said I would pray for her. So she came with her pastor, her associate pastor, and her son, who was about 16 years old. And I started to pray for her, and she got down on her knees and asked for prayer and received the prayer. And I had found out in the meantime over the weekend that she was not only a former Muslim, but that her husband, who she was married to and had six children and still living with, she had six children that she was raising with this man, had released her to preach the word. He was also an imam in a local mosque. He was a leader of a local mosque, a local Muslim congregation there in Goma. And he had released her to preach the word, and he had also released her to raise her children, raise their children as a Christian in their home. And so God had just done an incredible, mighty work in this family. God had just released his blessings in this family. And so there was a great outpouring of his love, not only for her, but for her husband. And as I prayed for her, as she knelt there before me, I have to tell you a pretty amazing thing about the Lord's timing. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God has placed eternity in our hearts, and he makes all things beautiful in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And so God's timing is always perfect. His timing is always right on time. To know the times in your life and to accept the times in your life and to wait on the Lord for timing in your life to accomplish his purpose and his destiny, this is something that takes strength. But the Lord will give you strength when you're waiting on the Lord, when you're waiting on his timing. And so I want to tell you about the timing. Not only did she prophesy that we would be coming to speak the word, But also, I was reading through the Bible, as I always do. I read through the Bible throughout the year, and the second time now I'm reading through the Bible from front to back this year, 2014. I'm in my second time of reading through the Bible front to back, and the very morning that she was standing there before me and asking for prayer, that very morning I had read Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5, which is the story of Deborah, the judge who judged Israel, Deborah the prophetess who had judged Israel. And so that very morning I had been reading through the Bible, and I came to that chapter 4 and 5, which, if you'll read that after you listen to this radio message, go and read chapter 4 and 5. It's a great story of how Deborah judged Israel, and how she, with Jael, another lady of that time in Israel, had killed Sisera, the enemy, and drove a spike through his temple and killed him. And so this was a great story of victory that tells about Deborah's time as a judge of Israel. Well, I'm going to read to you Judges 5 and start with verse 1. And Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day. So this is the song of Deborah. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord, God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. The mountains gushed before the Lord, the Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. And then I'm going to jump to the last verse in chapter 5 of Judges. Verse 31, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. So the land had rest for 40 years. And so the last verse says that let your enemies perish, O Lord, and let those who love him be like the sun when it comes out in full strength. And so I prophesied over Deborah that her husband, who was a Muslim and imam of a local mosque, I prophesied that within 3 days something dramatic was going to happen to him, that the Lord was going to touch him, the Holy Spirit was going to touch him, and this man who was a leader of a local mosque, he was going to be changed, and he too would come to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then secondly, I prophesied over Deborah that her territory would expand, that God was going to bless her. He was going to enlarge her territory, just as Deborah, the prophetess, was made to be judge over Israel. She was, you might say, in a position of the highest authority over Israel to judge God's people. I was prophesying over her that God was going to give her more territory. He was going to expand her territory. He was going to expand her authority, that her tent pegs would be moved out, that she would be given revelation, that she would be given prophetic revelation to speak over the city of Goma, and that as the city of Goma, as her territory expanded and her authority expanded, that the kingdom of God would expand through the destiny, through the blessing of this woman, that the kingdom of God would be expanded in Goma and over North Kivu and eventually all Congo because of this woman and her radical change and her radical coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so I prophesied that over her, and then the final word that I prophesied over her and blessed her with was the last sentence in chapter 5, and so the land had rest for 40 years. And so I prophesied that the land of Congo would have rest for 40 years. And this is just a tremendous blessing for a land that has been war-torn, a tremendous blessing for a land that has known nothing but strife and kidnapping and rapes and mayhem. And so the land is going to have rest, and it is in part due to a great degree to this lady Deborah, and how the Lord has raised her up, and how the Lord has blessed her, and how the Lord is going to continue to expand her territory. Well, as you can see, we had great blessings there in Goma. We were some of the first, maybe the first evangelist, white evangelist, to come there from foreign lands in many years. And so we are just extremely blessed and feel very satisfied of doing the Lord's work there in Goma. And I look forward to going back to Goma again and to preach the word and to scatter the seeds of blessing of the kingdom of God in that place. Well, brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus. When you are obedient to him, God will take you into places where you never thought or imagined. When you're obedient to him, God will raise you up. He'll give you the strength, even in your weakest hour, in your weakest time. There were many times on this trip when I didn't know if I could do it. I didn't know if I could keep going. I was sick a couple of times. I had nosebleeds. I had diarrhea. I had vomiting. I had spiritual warfare in a place and in a way that I've never had it before, in a higher level than I've ever had it before. But when you are weak, then God makes you strong. When you pick up your cross and carry it daily, the Lord will give you the strength to carry your cross up the hill and do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. And so that is his will for your life. That's his will for my life. I pray that as you listen to this message today and get inspired about serving the Lord in whatever way he calls you to, I pray that you will do it with passion, with strength, with courage. Be strong and courageous. Just step out and be bold and move forward in the kingdom. Well, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. That's where it all starts. Make a decision to accept him today. Maybe you've got all kinds of bondage and baggage and addictions and whatever. The Lord can straighten you out. He can clean you up. He can break all that baggage and bondage off of you. If you'll just get down on your knees and do business with the Lord and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me who you are. Show me who you are. Show yourself mighty to save. And he will be faithful. He will be true to do that. He is not a partial God. He wants all to come to know him, all to come to repentance. And he will bless you with the keys to the kingdom of heaven if you'll just open up your heart to him and let him come in. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. We'll take up the 7 steps to effective leadership next week, and we'll get into that for 3 or 4 weeks. So I just thank you again for listening. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.